Well, the time is at hand. As by now you must know, from the world of instruction to the real world we go, and all we've discovered and all we have read is carefully stored up inside of our head. What we've discovered are facts about praise, ways to be thankful the rest of our days. But beloved, that's knowledge. And though it is true, if we're still not praising, what good did it do? I hope you get the message. You see, the truth is a matter for the less. It's like an election. Campaign's over. Votes are in. But that's not the end of an election. That's the beginning. Those who are chosen to serve have to go out there now and do what they promised they would do. And we spent the last 7 lessons together talking about praise. We've studied why we praise and how we praise and when we praise and what happens when we praise. And after today, we'll go on and look at another subject, and you'll go back to your regular day-to-day responsibilities, and that'll be it. And if we were up to time of sharing this morning, and I were to take that mystical roving microphone we don't really use, fortunately, and go up and down the aisles and ask you, what did this series do for you? I know some of you would say, well, you know, I learned some new things about praising God. And I would say, that's wonderful. But are you praising Him morning, noon, and night? Has the essence of praise worked its way into your heart to such a degree that you go through life all day long praising Him? You say, no, I'm not praising Him anymore, but I know more about praising Him than I did before. And I would answer to you, you're in trouble. You say, why? Isn't that why we come to class, to gain more knowledge? And I would have to say to you, no, not exactly. We come here to gain wisdom. Knowledge is only a step in the process. About once every 2 or 3 years, I try to remind us of this, so please bear with me. The 3 stages: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, remember, is coming to know the facts, how God feels about something. For instance, and it's an illustration we've used with you before, suppose one of your problems is lying. And one day you're sitting here listening to the Word, and you hear taught a lie is an abomination to the Lord. Now you know something you really didn't know before, and that is that God hates lying. That's knowledge. But that didn't change your life. Now suppose you're driving home in your car and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you're a liar. You lied to your wife about paying that bill last week when you really hadn't paid it yet. You are a liar. Now you have gained understanding. God hates lying. You've been lying. You have personalized knowledge. That's understanding. But if you keep on lying, you're still not wise. Wisdom, remember, is the mind of Christ in control of the Christian. It is Christ set free in you to be Himself. So as long as you keep lying, your knowledge only made you more accountable. Your understanding made you more hypocritical. You have not allowed the truth to flow through your life and set you free. But let's suppose that you're confronted with another situation this week in which the normal thing you would do would be to bend the truth. That's another word for lying. But instead, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through the Word, and just as you're about to say that lie, the Spirit says to you, a lie is an abomination to the Lord, and you humble yourself and you tell the truth regardless of the consequences. Now you're becoming wise. It's true of every subject in the Bible, including the subject of praise. If you have learned something about how God feels about praise, you have gained knowledge. If you've been convicted in your own heart that you really need to praise Him more, you've gained understanding. But beloved, only now, if you go out of this room and for the rest of your life put into practice principles of praise, will wisdom be real to you in the area of praise. If these studies or any studies don't change the way we live, we're not any wiser than we were before. We filled up the car and left it in the garage. We put on our track shoes and decided not to run in the race. You see, the issue no longer ought to be, what do we have to praise him for? We know what we have to praise him for. The issue ought to be, is there a minute? And I don't care how young you are, how old you are, how busy you are, how much time you have. The issue is, if that's what the heart of God desires and that's what the Word of God demands, we ought to be praising him morning, noon, and night. The issue in closing out this series this morning then, and the reason for a little bit of review in the process, is that we need to leave here convicted to do what we're supposed to do, and what we're supposed to do is praise him. As we began, we must end this series by reminding ourselves the subject of thanksgiving and the issue of praise has its roots so deep in the heart of God's plan that to relegate it to anything, even equality with a lot of other practical areas of Christianity, may not do it justice. Most of us struggle to know how to find the will of God, and yet the Scripture tells us clearly, you remember, Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that in every area of our experience, this much we know about the will of God. One, we're to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Our lives are to become fountains of joy, wellsprings of confidence in who God is. Our joy is to be unaffected by crises. All those crises should do would be lead us to praise and to pray. And Paul goes on, and we are to in everything give thanks. In other words, the very things Satan would use to rob us of our joy, God says are reasons for us to praise him. And then Paul engraves that postscript on the tablets of Scripture that says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the secret of living the Christian life. It's all locked up in this incredible process called praise. This unnatural but supernatural expression of godliness that means give thanks in every situation. And I think what Paul is saying is, if you want to experience the God-controlled life the way it was meant to be, if you want to free the Holy Spirit to be in you all he wants to be, you need to enter in more completely into that incredible world of praise. He said, this is my will. I think we ought to stop right now before we go any further and thank the Lord for making it so simple. How many of you like things that are simple? Can I see your hand? You wouldn't be in this class otherwise, would you? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you've made it so clear. You've told us in really understandable language that we just need to rejoice evermore, to give thanks all the time. But Lord, it's not natural. And we're so glad. Father, if it's natural, we'd do it ourselves. It's supernatural. And so we're coming to you this morning, Father, many of us at least, with hearts that long to enter more fully for the days remaining in our lives into that incredible attitude of constant thanksgiving and gratitude. So, Father, we just pray as we go through this time this morning that you would turn knowledge into wisdom. Give us things we can do, and then, Father, and may your Spirit just impress us until we do it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we know the will of God then. It is to in everything give thanks. I'm going to run you through just very quickly what we learned about what to thank him for. First of all, we decided the Scripture teaches us that we praise him just because he is. We don't just praise him for what he's done for us. We praise him because he's God. He's perfect holiness. And the more of that holiness we come to discover, the more we praise him. He's perfect love. And the more of that love we experience, the more we praise him. The psalmist said it in Psalm 118:28, Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is. He's good. His mercy endureth forever. You and I could begin searching the Scripture today, and for the next 10 trillion years, we would extract new things about the nature of God for which to praise him and never run out of things to praise him for. Just because he is. And I ask you to take a day a week and take a different character quality of the nature of God, and on Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays, whatever it might be, praise Him as a family, as individuals, for that aspect of who He is. You never run out of things to praise Him for. And then secondly, we took a trip to Calvary. And we realized that that's where God once and for all demonstrated for us all that He is, perfect love. He so loved you, He so loved me that He gave His life away. And as we bow there before that cross, as we visited that hill called Golgotha, all the accomplishments of men and all the triumphs of nations and armies were not worthy of a breath of praise compared to the literal flow of thanksgiving that ought to pour from our hearts every time we come to that cross. And I ask you at least once every 2 or 3 months to take a day as an individual or as a family and go back to that cross and reread the accounts of the crucifixion. And if you don't fall on your face before God in utter adoration and praise, you've missed something. The third stage was to take us into the inner sanctum of the sovereignty of God and look at our past. And to learn to be not only praise the planner, but to actually give praise for the plan. To go back and see that everything that has ever happened in our life had a purpose, had a plan, was part of God's permissive will, and will be used of Him if we'll let Him. To create a ministry, to create a testimony, to change our lives. So we need to stop regularly, but at some point initially, and go back to the beginning of our life and make a list of all the things that if we had been God, we would have left out. And then go back and praise Him for each of those things until the Spirit of God removes the bitterness and the anger and the frustration of our trying to determine what we would have done had we been God, because we would have missed it. The fourth stage in our progression, you remember, came when we decided that once we had looked at the past, we needed to realize how to praise Him in the future when the storms of life seemed to settle upon us. And we took a walk with Paul into one of the prisons of life. And we learned that Paul, in the depth of it all, when the doors to the prison shut and his feet were bound in stocks, that was the time when Paul and Silas at midnight began to sing and to praise. And when they did, an earthquake took place and the doors flew open and a jailer and his family were saved. Why? Because they knew how to praise God in a prison. And you and I are in different kinds of prisons all through our lives. Maybe not physical prisons, but prisons of health, prisons of relationships, prisons in which we feel that we have been incarcerated somehow and we're locked in. And our natural response is to be angry with God, and our natural response is to be angry with other people. But God's response is for us to fall on our face and begin to sing and to praise. And stage five was learning to praise God not only with our lips but with our hearts. And we began to look at the difference between contentment and resentment. And we found out the whole of it all was to learn to praise God and thank Him for everything He gave us and everything He did, because whatever He did was so much more than we deserve. And then sixthly, we took last week a look at this life being basically basic training for heaven. And how God has painted on the scrolls of Scripture all these incredible things that will be ours one day that nobody talks about anymore. It's like heaven doesn't exist. And the truth of the matter, beloved, is the promises of eternity are so incredible. And these are the very things, when we lose the things that we will gain in heaven, are God's gentle reminders to praise Him, because one day, some golden daybreak, they will be ours. Pain will be gone. Suffering will be gone. Sighing will be gone. Crying will be gone. Death will be gone. Sin will be gone. Some golden daybreak thanksgiving will come. How can we stop praising Him? So the progression goes on. The sum total of it all is praising. morning, noon, and night. Praise Him in the quiet place where no one sees you but God. Praise Him in the marketplace where everyone sees you belong to God. Praise Him in the congregation of the saints where people are gathered for the glory of God. Praise Him in the sanctuary of your own home where your family becomes the church in miniature. Praise Him when the blessings of life surround you. Praise Him when the skies darken and the circumstances overtake you. Praise Him in the dungeons of life, among the diamonds of life. Praise Him. That's why you were born. That's why you were redeemed. And that is how you sacrifice to God, giving Him the glory due His name. Praise Him. Well, so much for the review. The votes are in. The election's over. The overwhelming choice for the making the Christian life what God meant it to be is the people's candidate, perfect praise. The question is, before we press on and file this series in our notes under S for something I studied once, I have to ask you, and you have to ask me, what are we going to do about it? What can we do to see that we never stop living a life of praise? Well, one way is to make plans today to put into practice some very practical steps to assure ourselves that life will be different. So, a few ideas. Idea number one, we'll call the rising of the sun principle. Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalm 108 says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early." "I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations, for Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reaches to the clouds." So the first step is you start the day from the rising of the sun, praising Him. That's so important. The first thoughts you think set the tone for the day. The first words you speak are pattern for the day. A song in your heart in the morning creates melody that never stops ringing. Why don't you invest in a timer, a tape recorder that has a timer built in, and awaken yourself in the morning to something like "How Great Thou Art," or "I Will Praise Him," or the Hallelujah Chorus. Why not let the first thing your ears hear in the morning be anthems of praise? Tape a psalm of praise to the mirror where you get your first glimpse of what you look like in the morning. We need something to turn that into praise. Why not develop a morning praise time around the breakfast table where every member of the family shares one quality of God or one verse of thanksgiving at the beginning of every day? You say, "Well, we don't have time. Our breakfast is too hurried." Bad news. If you spend time alone with God every morning, be sure to enter His courts with thanksgiving and enter His presence with praise. Before you start telling Him what you want, praise Him for who He is. Or make a covenant with God that before you take a step in the morning, you will fall out of bed. Some of us do that. You will fall out of bed and fall on your knees and recite a psalm of praise before you do anything else. Or, if you are so gifted, or if you live by yourself, one of the two, fall to your knees and begin singing. But if you sing like I do, and you're married, make melody in your heart, because otherwise you start the day bad for somebody else. But learn to praise Him. The second idea, try to turn mealtime into praise time. For most families, mealtime is one of the least productive hours of the day. And Jesus always seemed to use mealtime as a springboard for giving thanks. It wasn't a legalistic ritual to Jesus. It was an occasion to take whatever had been happening or however much they had or didn't have and use it as an opportunity to draw attention to how great His Father was. Maybe you keep a praise list on the dinner table and take turns praising God for some aspect of who He is rather than just "Thank You for the hamburger, Lord. I wish it had cheese on it," you know. Take Deuteronomy chapter 8. It reminds us that mealtime is a time when people partake of food, the giving or withholding of which was given to us as a reminder that man shall not live by bread alone. make mealtime praise time. Learn to develop parables of praise. That's what Jesus did. To Jesus, you'll remember, everything in the physical realm, from fig trees to sparrows, were teaching tools or patterns for finding truth. He never just looked at things as things, but he looked at them as material from which divine truth could evolve, you remember. He turned to the fishermen of his day and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." The lilies of the field became examples of the love of God. They toil not, neither do they spin, but Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You're the salt of the earth. The salt hath lost its flavor. Wherewith shall it be salted? And you see, things as common as rocks were used to describe the stability of God. Sand to describe the foundations the world builds on. Weeds to describe the cares of this world and snuff out the word. Bread and water to define the bread of life and the living water. Learn to make, as a family, to make up parables of your own and use them as a means of praise. It's called the parable principle of praise. You take physical examples of spiritual truth and you springboard them into ways to praise. For instance, when you rise in the morning and you jump in the shower, or maybe you crawl in, I don't know. But begin to sing, "There shall be showers of blessing." And you will remember then that your heart needs to turn upward instead of complaining that you left the soap somewhere else. Isaiah 55 reminds us, as the rain comes down from heaven, so shall thy word be. Praise him as you shower. As you butter your toast in the morning, praise him that he is the bread of life. Just take that which is physical and translate it into that which is spiritual and use it to praise him. As you water the plants in the yard, stop to praise him that he is the living water that makes you grow. Just get your mind in tune to that. When you go to buy something in the store, just stop and think about the price he paid for your salvation when he purchased you. You drive by and see a house under construction, stop and praise him that he is building your house on a foundation that will never fail. When it thunders, praise him for the thunder of his power. When you see an awesome tree spread out its branches across the street, stop and praise him that even saints can become like trees planted by rivers of living water. Learn to develop parables of praise. You can do it. And it'll change the whole perspective. Everything from traffic on the freeway, everything can be turned into anthems of praise if you're willing to focus. You can have a contest in your family and reward the children for the things they turn into parables of praise. It isn't so much what they do now, it's that they learn the principle so that as they grow older, everything they see will point to Jesus. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 148. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from heaven. Praise him from the heights. Praise him, sun. Praise him, moon. Praise him, stars of light. Praise him, heaven of heavens, waters above the heavens. Praise the name of the Lord." I believe that's what it means. He commanded, they were created. Fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind, mountains, hills, fruitful trees, cedars. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. Never stop praising him. Let this panorama of parables come out of your heart and begin to cause the orchestra of your spirit to play hymns of praise morning, noon, and night. Psalm 145 says, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory, the glory of thy kingdom. They shall talk of thy power." They shall, "all thy works, parables of praise." Well, I'm getting excited, even if you aren't. And then get your family, or at least in your own life, develop a pattern of writing living letters to the Lord. Write down on a piece of paper how you feel about the Lord. Write a letter to the Lord on a regular basis. You ever thought about David? In the middle of all the battles he fought, those he won and those he lost, he stopped and etched praise that was in his heart onto the tablets of the word. Sometimes he wrote about God to man. Sometimes he wrote to God for man. But he often wrote it down. And not only did it please God, not only did it change David, it left a living legend of literature for you and for me. Learn to write your heart on paper to God. As you do, it'll change you, it'll honor God, and it'll leave a legacy for those who follow to learn how to praise Him on a day-to-day basis for the circumstances of life. And teach your children to write letters to God and keep them in a notebook so they can see how their praise for who God is freed God to allow that aspect of His nature to work into their lives. They will be able to see how praising God that He is perfect mercy freed Him to bring out circumstances in their life in which His mercy became real. Living letters of praise. And then learn to make melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. The child of God ought to have a song in his heart morning, noon, and night. He ought to have his heart filled with the music of heaven, his lips overflowing with praise and thanksgiving. You give thanks because you're thankful. You're thankful because you've spent your life directing the internal choir of your spirit in a presentation of praise to God. Not talking about corporate worship at this time. I'm talking about personal praise. And you don't have to be able to sing. You can make melody in your heart. That's a relief to me and to everybody around me. You just have to allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God or the principles of God that have been set to music and absorb it into your soul. Make the most of music, particularly music that is Scripture set to melody. It is God's word of way of taking the Word and infusing it into the soul in such a way that it expresses the message experientially. Use it as background music to quietly inscribe the message of the Word into your subconscious. Use it in your family worship. The words will remain in your mind as the melody goes through your mind over and over and over. I was driving back and forth out of town all this week, and I played Christian music up and back, up and back, up and back. And I would find that I got home, went in the house, late in the evening, got in bed, and the melodies kept ringing in my heart, and the words kept coming back over and over and over. Incredible. I could have sat down and tried to memorize those words and probably not gotten anywhere. But that music, it etched it in my heart, and it'll do the same for you. And I encourage you to be careful and set aside your own standards as to what works and what is workable Christian music. This is a difficult area, and what I'm going to tell you is only for me. You'll have to decide on your own. But for me personally, I have to ask myself 5 questions. Is the music a source of agitation or illumination? Question number 1. Number 2, does it exalt the singer, the author, or God? Number 3, can you tell by its composition the difference between it and the music of the world? 4, do the words exalt God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And 5, is there anything in the words that is scripturally untrue? Remember, the music will plant the words into your heart. Be sure the words come from the Word. So make sure that the music is God exalting and you set your own standards. But once you have done that, saturate yourself with it. It is God's way of placing the Word in your life. Have family song fests. Encourage your children to write hymns of praise using the Scriptures. To sing choruses before and after meals, to study the stories of behind the great hymns, to discuss the words of the hymns that you sang in church on the way home, to take a hymn a day or a hymn a week and make it a family song, the whole family agreeing to make melody in their hearts when their minds are free, and then sing it together in the evening until the message and the melody become a part of your life. Maybe your family wants to pick a theme song or a life message song so as your children are growing up and make it your song as a family. The melody will be there long after the children are gone. And then finally, you need one more suggestion, I can tell. Why not make a personal praise book? Some of you have already done this. Some of you have tried, decided you didn't want to. Some of you have never heard of it before. But the idea is you take the subjects we've been studying, the ways to praise God, and make a notebook and put dividers in it. Section 1 would be just because he is, and it would list the character qualities of God, and you would be able to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday praise him for a different aspect of who he is. Chapter 2 would be, when last did you visit the hill? And it would have the scriptures concerning the crucifixion for you to meditate on. The third chapter would be praise for the planner. It would be an opportunity to be certain that on occasions you went back and praised God for everything that's ever happened to you. Chapter 4, the next chapter would be on life's prisons, and you would be able to make a list each day of the kinds of prison houses Satan tried to put you in and the joy that you received when you stopped and praised God in that prison. The next chapter would be on contentment versus resentment. The next one on some golden daybreak, a listing of the glories that are yours in heaven. And then lastly, maybe a diary, your personal praise chapter, where you record those times when God really changed you as you praised him. Now I know those are just ideas, and none of them may appeal to you. That's fine. The idea is just a reminder that it is the will of God for you to spend your life praising God. And the purpose of this series is that if we're going to live a life of victory, we have to begin to live a life of praise. And if we're going to be men and women who say we want to do the will of God, and Paul has told us this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that in everything you give thanks, we have got to make some changes. Some of us need to know that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. Day and night, we're to give ourselves to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord until some golden daybreak, that life that has been so characterized by praise dissolves into a whole life of praise that will go on through eternity praising him. That's why we've had this study. And by God's grace, may it be to God's glory. But I don't want us to end this series talking about praise. I would like us to close this series doing what we've talked about. So if you'll just turn in your transcripts to page 18, we're going to close by reading together some passages, just praising. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. to him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And all the people said, Amen. Our Father and our God, we praise thee, and we humble ourselves in thy presence, and we pray that as the days progress, we might praise thee yet the more. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message by Russell Kelfer, founder and director of Discipleship Tape Ministries of San Antonio, Texas. Feel free to contact us on the World Wide Web at www.dtm.org. That's dtm.org. Or you may write to us at the following address: Discipleship Tape Ministries, 10602 Moss Bank, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip is 78230. Well, thank you for listening. We pray God's richest blessing may be yours as he continues to live his life in you.